Welcome back, listeners of Channel 88.1 FM, KFHC Ponca Sioux City, and KOIA Storm Lake. We are so tickled you are joining us, if you are right now. And if you were with us for the first segment, well, thank you for staying with us. I'm Joanne Fox. I'm the host of Faith in Action. And because this is my show and I'm in control of it, I made the decision that we really needed to talk about Labor Day and what kinds of challenges we face as we get ready for the long Labor Day weekend. And so my guest in the studio is Trooper Karen Yaniff, and she is a member of the Iowa State Patrol, has been so since 2001. And you might see her driving up and down the roads, but she also is the public resource officer and does some teaching. But claim to fame, as we discovered in the first segment, is Helan High School graduate and BCU alum.
Yes.
So that is nice. Very nice. So, Carrie, as we get ready for the Labor Day weekend, I guess my question would be, how is the Labor Day weekend different from perhaps Memorial Day weekend or the July 4th festivities or Christmas or Thanksgiving? How is it different?
I'd say that, you know, with the Labor Day weekend, it's the third deadliest weekend for the state of Iowa. And just trying to get the message out there, distracted driving, impaired driving, speeding. Speed is pretty much 90% of the crashes that we have here in the state of Iowa that lead to the fatalities. So I think with Labor Day coming up, knowing that the summer has gone by very fast due to COVID, and then everything is crammed into this year to try to make up for that, I think it's going to be the last hurrah for everybody, you know, before we kind of hit those winter months. I really don't want to have winter come here as quickly either, because then I'll be out on those interstates quite a bit. But I think just with everyone having a nice three-day weekend, I think it'll be kind of the last one until we kind of get into the holiday season here towards the end of the year. So, plus school will be starting to come back. So I just think it's just kind of for everyone to kind of get back into a routine of things.
When you say it's the third deadliest, what are number one and two then?
I believe it follows pretty much after Memorial Day and the 4th of July weekend.
Oh, okay.
Just because of all the traffic. Everyone's, you know, moving to their vacations, you know, you're getting out of school, everyone's traveling just a little bit more. So usually that's pretty much the third deadliest one that we have, unfortunately.
Okay. And you mentioned speed is usually that seems to be the indicator of, you know, how things are going to go poorly. And so what tip might you give to listeners other than slow down?
Slow down. You know, you get some motoring public that come and ask us, okay, how fast can you go, you know, over the speed limit, you know, is there a five, you know, is there a grace of a five over? And I kind of usually joke with people, says, drive as fast as you can afford. And so you kind of tell people to say that. So we just had a trooper, he just talked to me on the way here, coming here to the office, and he checked his speed at 91 and a 55 on a two-lane highway just this morning here, probably about 45 minutes ago.
Oh, dear.
So the speeds are up. People just don't want to take their time. So I think the biggest thing is just you know, you may be saving 2 to 3 minutes of getting there faster. Is it worth 2 to 3 minutes of your life or your family's life that you're endangering just to get there faster? Mm-hmm. So the message is just trying to let people know they have to slow down and be patient.
Is it confusing because, you know, you can go like 70 on the interstate, but then a two-mile road could drop down to 65 or 55, and then worse, you cross over into South Dakota where you can go 80, and that must be a lot for an individual to kind of grasp, I think. And so how does one get around that, just by memorization of where you're at and what the speed limits might be?
I think if you're born or at least work and live in this area, you're going to be quite familiar with what the speed limits are around here. So you know, 75, you know, it's 65 miles an hour, you know. So it used to be 55 for the longest time. I know when I moved back to this area, Highway 20 for a long time was 55, and then they kind of looked at me and says it's 65 miles an hour now. So I think just living in this area, working around here, everyone's going to have an idea of what that speed is. A lot of people like to rely on their GPS, letting them know what that speed is. It's okay to have the GPS, but we need to be aware of our surroundings and be able to look around and see what that speed limit is.
Yeah, and as you mentioned, the GPS, a lot of times that's your phone. You know,
yes.
I don't have a car that has a GPS display on my dashboard.
Correct. And I don't either. So, yes, I don't have that fancy of a car yet. So, yes.
Right. So you tend to look down at the phone just quickly to, you know, see where you're at. And, of course, nowadays, maps are a thing of the past, so you tell your phone, you know, where it is you want to go, and then you set it down. Or, you know, sometimes you could get those gizmos where you can put it into where the air blows out.
Yes.
And so it's up higher, so your eyes are on the road. But still, it is a distraction.
The phone has always been a distraction. And I think that's why the enforcement is there just to show, because it is some of the leading crashes that we have, because people are looking down. I can't tell you how many times, just even off duty, even just driving around, and people have their heads down there looking. And it's not very reassuring when you're driving on a two-lane highway and you have a person, you know, that is looking straight down and they just passed you. And how long does that take for a split second for them to cross that center line and have a very bad experience? So the distracting driving is a huge problem that we have in the state.
Yeah, not only crossing the center line, but going onto the shoulder, which might be some loose gravel, and now you've lost control of the car, and now you're in the ditch.
Right, and I usually try to tell even some of the kids and drivers that are the students is, just because you drive on that shoulder, don't panic. You know, you may reduce your speed a little bit, but don't try to overcorrect. It's just easier just to kind of just drift back up there and just maintain that speed, or get back, you know, to where that speed is within reasons, obviously. Mm-hmm. But the biggest thing is just try not to slam on those brakes or try to overcorrect, because that could lead more problems to that crash or go themselves in the ditch. Unfortunately, we lost, you know, the healing kid in Creighton, you know, probably about 3-4 years ago. I don't know the circumstances, but there's some overcorrecting that happened where he crossed, you know, the deal, and my facts could be wrong on that, and I apologize if it is. But just having everyone just be aware of their surroundings is going to be big.
Yeah, and I think that's huge, the whole idea of keeping your car under control, and that's hard to do if you're speeding. You know, if you are following what the prescribed speed limit is, there's a reason for that speed limit.
There is a reason for that. And honestly, if you're going to lose control of the vehicle, 9 times out of 10, especially from the State Patrol, we are going to issue a citation for that, because you are required by the state of Iowa to have that vehicle under control at all times.
And we didn't really even talk about the whole being on the phone at all, because I believe in the state of Iowa, you are not supposed to use your phone and certainly not text and drive. I think I might have even done a story on an individual, and that was right after the law came out that you were not to text and drive, and he was hit head on by another young person who was texting, and his rehabilitation and recuperation period was extensive. Thank God he wasn't killed.
Yes.
You know, he lived long enough so that I could interview him, and he talked about the terror of that. So what exact, and of course it's been so long ago, I don't remember, but what exactly is the law on the use of a cell phone while you're driving?
Well, I'd have to look it up, and I apologize, because I know that the law just went into effect here for July 1st, and I'm going to be honest with you, with having RAGBRAI and everything else, that's been pretty darn busy. I haven't had a chance to update myself on that, but I know prior to that you are able to use a cell phone for, you know, for GPS-type purposes. But for texting or anything like that, I've actually stopped people for watching a movie as they're driving.
Oh, my gosh. So, I'm sorry, listeners. I shouldn't have just made that big laugh into the microphone.
You kind of see quite a bit.
Who does that?
Yes, it's pretty crazy. So as long as they're using it for GPS purposes to get themselves where they need to do, they're okay for that part of it. So
okay. And we've talked a lot about, you know, our individual responsibilities for being a good driver, but you mentioned, of course, be aware of your surroundings. There's a lot of folk that aren't responsible, so I think that would behoove us, you know, to kind of always be aware of what's going on with the traffic around us.
Yes, and it's very good, because there's so many things that happen just in a split amount of second, and I think just, and even though you're just looking straight ahead, I think as I drive, I look probably more from side to side, even if it's just, you know, we're getting into harvest season here pretty quickly. We're getting into hunting season here soon. So we have deer, you know, coming out everywhere. They're going to be kicked up out of the fields because of harvest season. Just even with harvest season, we got the tractors, you know, and I do a little insert for that here coming up here in probably the next few weeks or something like that to see how that goes. But just being around, the, you know, the tractors and all the implement of husbandry type things are going to be out on the roads. And I think just so that you're not just set that you have to go the specific way and be locked in there like a tunnel vision, we want to be able to look all around and make sure that we are a well-rounded driver to make sure that we're safe at all times.
Yeah, and the other thing you mentioned, I'm so glad you did, because, yeah, harvest is coming up, and that those huge pieces of farm equipment, they're slow, they're awkward, and a lot of times you can't get around them, and so you get kind of antsy, yes, because we're always running late, it seems.
There's always running late. You get almost kind of tired on Mondays, and sometimes the days after holidays is when people are running late, you know, for work because of, you know, they're enjoying it with their family, or they're running late because maybe the kids weren't cooperating before they left for school or anything. Or just anything, but yes, just being aware. And I think with the harvest season coming up, a lot of people, we have some accidents out there, or crashes that are out there just because they're not being patient. We have to remember that they're also putting food on our table for us too, so we have to be careful for that.
So. Yeah, very much so. And you mentioned RAGBRAI, and so I'm going to segue. Bicyclists are out. And to me, that is more scary than anything. I always fear, even though they got the helmet and they seem like they got the protective gear, I still worry that they might lose their balance and fall in front of me. And then motorcycles, yes, you know, two-wheeled vehicles that also, you know, we need to be aware of because they are not a big car.
No, they're not. And I actually ride a motorcycle. I have my own. I actually teach the basic rider course through WIT. As a part-time, it's not affiliated with the state patrol or anything. I like riding motorcycles. So to try to get that message out there also, just because the biggest thing is if it leads to the crashes, not just because of they didn't negotiate the turn or the intersections due to speed, it's just they didn't see them. And that's the biggest thing, is just making sure if you're going to, you know, make that right-hand or left-hand turn, taking that split second to make sure, okay, is there anything else in front of me before I do that?
Yeah, because they can sneak up on you really quickly.
Yes.
And we've talked so much about, you know, being a defensive driver and having some common sense on the road and stuff. But off air, we talked a little bit about our own personal faith and how that kind of plays into our jobs. And maybe you could share with the listeners a bit about, you know, what role does your faith and your foundation as a, you know, a Catholic school, high school graduate, a Catholic college graduate, you know, what role does faith play in your job?
You know, for me, I think it's very important. You know, going to Mass, you know, there's some days, obviously, that, you know, you don't go sometimes on the weekends because, like I had for RAGBRAI, I wasn't able to go because I was up at the intersections. But faith is very important to me. I can tell you that I've actually had my patrol car blessed by a priest before, just to kind of have that little extra one. I know in my right front pocket, I carry a finger rosary and the St. Michael medallion type thing. I also have a St. Michael, you know, to protect me in my car, too. So I also have the card with me that says, you know, please, you know, if something happens to me, I'm Catholic. So I always do that. So the faith is very important because in my mind, due to my faith in what I believe in, I believe that protects me on the roads here, too. Obviously, it doesn't make them foolproof or anything like that, but it makes me feel more secure when I know that I can do that.
I think that's terrific. And so, listeners, again, we need to take a short break to give a shout-out to our underwriters and all of our supporters and do some public service announcements. So thank you so much to Trooper Karen Yaniff for taking some time to enlighten all of us about what's going on as our Labor Day weekend comes up. We would love to have you on the air again.
I would love it. I appreciate you having me. Thank you.
You bet. So, listeners, please stay tuned because, oh, there's a lot more to talk about as we prepare for the Labor Day weekend. So we will be right back.